Hello and welcome to the Chamber Orchestra of Europe's podcast. I'm Simon Mundy, and in each session it's my pleasure to introduce and talk to one of the people who play or have played an important part in the orchestra's life and music making. The Chamber Orchestra of Europe is a special band. It was the first professional orchestra to bring top musicians from all over Europe together for short but intense periods of concert giving each year. It concentrates on the music for small orchestra from the classical and romantic periods. It works with a very small group of highly distinguished conductors and soloists. Claudio Bardo, Niklaus Harnoncourt, and Bernhard Haitink are among those who have shaped its sound and philosophy. It started nearly 40 years ago, and its membership includes a healthy mixture of players who have been part of the ensemble for decades and those who've taken their places more recently. Today I'm speaking to the orchestra's leader, the Italian violinist Lorenzo Borani, who's been in the role since 2008, even though she was then only 25. That's in the original spirit of the COE idea, since it was founded by a group of very young musicians who had been the first to play in the European Community Youth Orchestra. Lorenzo was born in Florence in 1983 and studied music up the hill in Fiesole. She studied more in Graz and has lived in Berlin before recently returning to teach in Fiesole. Away from COE, she's acted as leader, director, soloist and chamber musician just about everywhere important, from Edinburgh to Sydney. Lorenzo, I wanted to start by asking you what a leader does for the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. How do you see your role there?
My role as leader of the Chamber Orchestra of Europe, it took me a little bit of time to probably visualize myself in this role, in particular in the role, because for me it was quite overwhelming, no? When I got this position, I was, I think, quite young, because it was early 2008, I was 25. And for me at that moment, it was not clear that I am there and I because I lead. I was sitting there playing music in the way that that for me was feeling good, or in the way I was feeling music should be played, and trying, of course, to connect with all the musicians, but in the same way I would play in chamber music, no, without this concept of I'm leading an orchestra. So this the meaning of this role, I think, it came with the time for me. I think that when I'm leading in the orchestra, I don't think I am the leader. I think this should be the last thing a leader should think, in particular. I most think, okay, I am like a boat that should contain all the marines, and then it's the sections that leads the music, not that leads the sound. It's not me. I should allow that they can sail. And this can be enlarged as a picture for the whole orchestra. But I think the role as a job, it's a bit, it goes also beyond the playing. It goes also in trying to understand that we are a group of people that are joined by many things in common, but that are also very different from each other, no? And I think in my role, I found myself very often trying to understand people, and not only in the needs, but also in the wishes. What is only about the needs? It would be strange, you know. It's more about wishes, about visions, you know, that fortunately in COE we have many basic wishes and visions that are common, and that's why we have the COE. But still, it's a group of many people coming from different countries and with a different personality. And I feel I found myself very often trying to understand and combine all these wishes together.
Here's Lorenzo as a chamber musician in the opening of Mozart's clarinet quintet. The clarinetist is Romain Guillot, and they're playing in Paris in 2013, recorded on the Mirare label.
Thank you.
Do you find it different leading Chamber Orchestra of Europe from other orchestras you lead?
When I lead other orchestras, I generally go with the role of director. So it's slightly different. It's a group of people that maybe I meet occasionally. It's not my family, no? It's different. With the COE, it's the group I belong. So it's a slightly different dynamic that rule all the situation. I think what I feel different in the Chamber Orchestra of Europe is the fact that the main joining factor in this group is a life-changing learning experience that everyone has had. I mean, one can have a life-changing experience and one can have a life-changing learning experience in the playing and in what you do, which stays forever. And this, in a group of musicians that play together, I think makes a huge difference. And for me, this life-changing experience that everyone had was this meeting with Nicolas Harnoncourt. This is what I felt the first time that I joined the orchestra. And then over the years, still they are very strong. Because you can have a group of incredible musicians that play in incredible quality. How many? Many orchestras are great quality. I think it doesn't even make sense to judge how good is an orchestra. There are so many good orchestras. You can see what an orchestra has to offer. And for me, the COE has this, which is very strong. Because everyone has in mind this, which is a learning factor. And this enriches musicians a lot.
I mean, if you were leading one of the World Symphony Orchestras who are stuck in one place and in their city and have the visiting conductors flying in, very often the leader's job is to make sure that the performance is all right, despite the indifferent quality of the conductor. Yeah. That's something that you're spared in the Chamber Orchestra of Europe. But apart from Harnoncourt, I wonder who you've worked with that have really inspired you.
Well, for me, I learned a lot from the COE itself. So my colleagues in the orchestra are those I feel I'm still learning from. Plus, we have these incredible soloists that come, or conductors. I mean, even the work and the relationship we still have with Bernard Haitink, no? It's a completely different personality, but enriching, and one of those meetings that stays inside the heart forever. And then we have the incredible energy, inspiration that we have every time we play with Yannick. How much we learn when we play with Yurovsky. I hardly remember a project in COE where I went back home that I didn't learn something. And this is for me always the main reason to go.
That was my guest, Italian violinist Lorenzo Barani, leading COE in the Saltarello Presto, the last movement of Mendelssohn's Italian Symphony, conducted by Yannick Nézet-Séguin and recorded for Deutsche Grammophon at the Philharmonie de Paris in 2016. Are there particular musicians, you've spoken about some of the great conductors, but I wondered if there are particular musicians when you're leading the orchestra as the leader as opposed to just a violinist, whether there are some that you think are particularly good at helping you transmit the message around the section.
You mean in the orchestra?
Yeah.
Well, but I think that in different ways and in different moments, I had this help, I would say, from everyone in the orchestra. It's, you know, also we don't have a fixed sitting. We believe in this rotation. We even don't have first and second violins. We rotate completely. So even the first circle, no, in front is never fixed. So you constantly get this close contact with everyone, for example, in the strings. And also, you know, you can count in the help from the back, from those that you have met in the front, but are occasionally in the back. With the winds, this is the luxury, you know, of the leader position. You can see everyone. And it's like being at the cinema and you get the best seat, no? So I can see all the winds. I tend to play the Schumann symphonies in the trombone section. It's, I'm feeling part of that section. But really, I mean, I think I can have memory of a special moment in music making, of communication, of musical moment with everyone of the members of the COE.
This idea that all your colleagues in the violin sections rotate is so different from, again, from the usual symphony orchestra, where you have your desk companion for years at a time, and you hope you like each other. But it's very different having that flexibility that you're always playing with a different violinist. That must keep you quite fresh.
It's one of the most challenging thing to do, also because it's something we believe strongly in, but of course it can be delicate, no? Because with this constant change, you also renounce to some level of habit that sometimes gives this security feeling, and we change every time. I think what this gives freshness, also because we believe of the importance of every player's. And it doesn't matter where you sit and how, but it's clear that a different seat in a different part of the section has a slightly different role. I was talking with musicians, with the young colleagues of the EUIO last week, no? And I think it was the first violin sectional that I was doing on Zoom, no, this time. And talking a little bit about the seating and talking about this feeling of, for the leader to feel like a boat, no, that contains, and all the other musicians also being the marines that run the boat. And then the role, for example, of the desks 3 and 5 and, okay, in bigger orchestra 7, no, the uneven desk, like the, you know, the 3 on the boat, no, and the desks in between, the number 2, the number 4, like the sails of the boat, like the desk number 3 and 5, they mirror more the number 1 and 2, they do the music, they do the details. Now looking for, I mean, it changes. So of course this gives a freshness, because you find yourself changing position, having a slightly different role, and none has less importance than another one. It's just different, no? So this is, for us, a big richness.
Did you always want to lead orchestras or chamber groups, or did you want to be a concerto soloist?
Well, I never thought to lead an orchestra, and I didn't think to play in orchestra when I was small, but mostly, I hope I say it without offending anyone, but you know, when I was young, I was having a lot of fun in playing chamber music. So I always thought this was my main wish. My teachers, they wanted me to go more for the soloistic career, but I was never feeling this completely in my complete nature, this. But when I was watching an orchestra playing in the TV, this was not attracting me much, because I could see the job. No, I could see the job, and I couldn't see myself doing that job. It happened by chance that I started leading orchestras, because I got this invitation with Lorin Mazel and this Orchestra Toscanini, Filarmonica Toscanini in Parma, and I was 19. And they asked me if I would do it, and I said, okay, why not? And I discovered that I could be myself doing that. And I discovered a completely new world, and I fell in love with playing in orchestra completely. And then also the experience playing with Claudio Abbado and Orchestra Mozart, also there I found, and then I met the COE, and I could really feel being myself playing in orchestra. And sometimes now you think in a bigger group, you have to renounce to yourself, or you cannot be yourself. But this is, no, it's a little bit like in life. It's not that you have to renounce to yourself. You have to discover yourself through the relation with the others. You know, you discover how to give freedom to the others before fighting for your own freedom. No, you fight for the freedom of the others and for the rights of the others. And this is what I feel that playing in orchestra means. And for me, it has an incredible value.
Now, you're from Florence. Do you still live in Florence? Are you a true Florentine these days?
Yeah, I have been living in Berlin for a few years, but now I moved back to Florence, where my family lives. And let's say I know I'm from Florence, and I can see that is my home, Florence. But I feel that my life will fit in different towns. And I'm Italian. I don't feel completely Italian. I feel completely European. And so I know that I'm gonna be traveling.
When you're in Florence and you're going around all those extraordinary buildings which have been there for 600-700 years, do you ever find yourself picking up a Baroque violin or an early violin and thinking yourself back into the Medici masks or the early part of Florence's music life?
Yeah, I mean, I play also on classical instruments, and I have a Baroque violin, and I studied also in the last year, so I work on both instruments. And it's strange, but for me, in Florence, if I have to be completely honest, Florence has this aesthetic, no, this incredible beauty and perfection in the architecture, no, this search for perfection. Sometimes I struggle with this sort of beauty that it doesn't really exist in life in the end, no? And in the music I play, the music that I feel closer, which is probably it relates more on the German, Austrian, no? German tradition, Austrian tradition music. Sometimes in Florence I struggle because I don't find a meeting there. So Florence switch on emotions, big part of emotions, love for art, no? But it's really a different emotion from the one that I find in the music I play. But when you then speak about the Baroque music, no, and earlier old music, of course, then that get closer. On the other hand, then maybe I would find myself more in Venice, probably more in that area.
When you're playing with other great violinists and they're playing in a solo concerto, do you find yourself as leader listening to the way they're interpreting a concerto in a different way from the way you would if you were just listening in the audience or being a player in the further back in the orchestra?
Well, when I'm leading, and I mean, if I'm playing together with these soloists, what I do is trying to go inside the interpretation of this player, because I have to contribute, and my job is to make that picture happen. So I don't particularly put my expectation of how the piece should be, or my, let's not call it expectation, but my vision of, because that would be in the way. That would not make me doing a good job. Sometimes it's even if suddenly comes a question, how would you do that? Because maybe how I would do fits the way of my own interpretation, but maybe it's far from this. And so it would not help this interpretation, no, that we are doing. So generally when I play with, I tend to forget how I tend to put all the energy just to understand how this vision is and go on 100%. Of course, when I listen from outside or I'm in the audience, sometimes it's more hard to have this completely, this concentration that it's a concentration to give as a listener, no? It's, and we know, no, audience very often, and it's not a great thing, no, go to a concert with an expectations. And this is a little bit also my problem with the recordings, no? Very often the audience goes to listen to a concert expecting to listen that solo is playing like in the recording that he has done, no? And sometimes if it's different for some people, it's even disappointing. While maybe it's a great thing, no? If it's different. So this is something we should all work on. But I can notice a difference in the interpretation, probably more if I'm listening than if I am contributing to that.
So here you are, Lorenza, playing with fellow violinist Daniel Hope and cellist William Conway in the first movement of Vivaldi's Concerto Opus 3 No. 11 from his L'Estro Armonico set. It was recorded in St. Paul's Deptford, London, in 2008 for Deutsche Grammophon. Lorenzo, what instrument do you play on, and how important is that instrument to you?
Now, for many years I have played incredibly precious instruments that were given to me from a foundation in Italy, that is Fondazione Pro Canale di Milano, and also a Santo Serafino that was very beautiful, 1745. And in the last 2 years, I had the luck. I still had this Santo Serafino, but I had the luck to meet the violin of the father of one of the members of COE, cello member, Luisa Buchberger, and her father, Hubert Buchberger, that is a former member of the quartet, Buchberger Quartet, famous for this recording of all the Haydn string quartet. And I met his violin, and I fell in love with this violin, which is a Camillo Camilli. And he is stopping to play the violin and wanted to sell this violin. And so I decided to buy this violin. And now this is my violin, which has a very strong value, because it's like it's also for them. It's like it stayed in the family, because Luisa is like a sister for me. We really feel belonging to the same family. And for me, it's an honor to have the violin of her father. And so it's very precious. And it's great to have the feeling that now I'm playing an instrument that belongs to me. And it's a very different feeling.
Yeah. I'm sure it is. When was it made?
Well, we don't know this exactly. The head of the violin, the riccio, is not from Camillo Camilli, could be from Storioni. But it is also middle of 18th century.
Lorenzo, is there anything else that we haven't talked about that you would like to talk about?
The COE has all the orchestras are this example of cooperation and of being able to understand who you have around and how to work in order to making something work, no? And in the COE, this is very strong, because people still live in their country or anyway in different countries. So they have an individual dimension that is even more different from each other's. But then still, if you have some basic values and the goals are clear and you put the final result or the common result before your own personal wish, then you feel fulfilled, no? But if you stay closed, there is no way to have an orchestra, no? If everyone would start to play how wish, because I want to be free to play how I want, because I should be free to play how I want. I studied 20 years, why I cannot play how I want? Because I ruined the concert, even if I play very well. Or if the brass suddenly would play fortissimo, because the instrument, it's the nature of the instrument that plays loud. So why I shouldn't use it 100%? I paid it 100%. I have the right to play it 100% loud. No, I mean, if everyone would start thinking like this, there would be no peace. There would be no music. There would be no common existence. And I feel that this is the best example that an orchestra can give, no? That playing in the orchestra with conductor, without conductor, no, this doesn't matter so much. A conductor gives an important, not only service, but it's there to interpret, no? It's there to help all this relation. But for me, COE can remind this to everyone, has this value. And I feel that today we need it a lot.
I've been talking to Lorenzo Barani, the leader of the orchestra. I'm Simon Mundy. Join me again soon to hear more about the Chamber Orchestra of Europe and you can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcast and Spotify. You'll find all the details on the orchestra's website too, at www.coeurope.org.